This is WGBB AM 1240 and W240 DF FM 95.9 Freeport, New York. This.
With the worker and the weak,
let us go to God's house.
Enter into Jerusalem,
let us go to God's house.
Come and run with the wind, with the God who reigns in peace,
let us go to God's house.
We go celebrate.
Good morning. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. We are live from WGBB radio station. This is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. I'm just so happy to be with all of you today, and we have wonderful guest speakers here. And just before we start, I just wanted to say that we love Jesus, and we love you too, listeners. And thank you so much for coming, Priscilla, Dr. O'Connell. It's such a blessing to be here, and with Stephen Spitaleri from St. Catharines. And just before we start, I just wanted to make some announcements. Our call-in number is 631-888-8811, and please feel free to call in with prayer requests. And if you want to provide any feedback, questions you may have, our number is 631-888-8811. We'd love to hear from you. And the email is listenup1240@gmail.com. You could email prayer requests. You could anything you would like to say. And also, I just kind of wanted to start with some reflection here, and also if you feel inspired to donate financially to Listen Up, we are accepting donations, and every little bit is much appreciated to continue the legacy of Dr. Tony and Dr. John Palmer, and just to keep the station going and to keep the love of Jesus and the Lord's message going. Even if you can't afford anything, just a simple prayer just means so much to all of us here. So I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Everything that you do is so much appreciated. And so just as a little reflection to start, last week I wasn't here. Barbara Campbell was the host, and Anthony Gentile was the guest speaker, and it was Father Peter, and it was just such an amazing, amazing show. I listened to his conversion story, and I was on a retreat, so I wasn't able to come, but the message was so beautiful. Listening to the radio show and while I was on the retreat, there was a lot of connections there. When I came back and listened to the show. And what I learned and what I just want to share with all of you is that you were created for a purpose, and that God lovingly willed you into existence. So God wanted you to be on this earth, and he loves you, and there is a purpose for why you are here. We're all unique and special and created differently, and for however we're created, man, woman, we are created and loved by God. And So yeah, I think that's a great segue into today. We are going to be talking about special needs, and I just wanted to introduce Dr. O'Connell, Priscilla, Dr. Priscilla, and she is a parishioner from St. Catharines. She used to be a principal in a special needs school. That's is that correct? Okay. And she just has amazing insight today that she would like to share with us about special needs ministry and the special needs mass.
Thank you, Catherine. It's a pleasure to be here today. As far as my background is concerned, I taught in a school system for special needs students whose main disability was emotional disturbance, and then within that category, many of the students had learning disabilities or autism, mental retardation. So in general, we used the term developmental delay, but because there were many reasons for slow progress in learning and under what we did, many students really advanced quite a lot. Some students got Regents diplomas and went on to college. Mm-hmm. So we had a broad spectrum of students, but the main disability was emotional disturbance. So I started out as a teacher in the program. After I earned my master's in special education at Adelphi. Later on, I studied at St. John's University and earned my doctorate in instructional leadership. So when I retired, I began a ministry in St. Catherine of Siena Parish for the special needs population. And it's very loosely defined, because anyone can contact the social services outreach program and identify themselves, and I'm willing to help with educational needs. If someone needs to go to a Committee on Special Education meeting, called a CSE meeting for short, when their child is getting an individual education plan made up, and that is called an IEP, if they need an advocate to be with them, I'm certainly willing to come and be an emotional support, or offer opinions if they need a second opinion about some of the documents that they're being provided with. So that's one aspect. At St. Catherine of Siena, we also have a special needs mass on the third Saturday of the month. And we have respite nights, between 3 and 5 of them over the course of each year. This year, we have 4 scheduled and possibly a 5th. The next one will be on January 20th. Mm-hmm. So in order to attend the respite night, the respite is for the parents, and they can drop their special needs person off for a night of socialization and fun between 6 and 8 p.m. And then the parents can go out to dinner or just have some time for themselves or their other children. And at that respite night, we have different games. We have the gym available. Some of the participants play basketball. We have plastic bowling pins, t-ball in the gym, and then in the main room we have board games and floor games that other students like to use. They have a snack time where pizza and chicken fingers are served. And the participants have a good time, and meanwhile the parents get a little time to relax. So
that's great. Sounds really wonderful.
Now, the third Saturday of the month, we have a special needs mass. And that can be for children, but it's also for adults who might be elderly and not want to be around a lot of crowds. If the people are in a wheelchair, we have accommodations. Our entrances can be we have a ramp coming up to the Siena Center on one side of the building, or an elevator on the other side. And and we're also open to anyone coming in and helping us in the ministry with saying the prayers and singing the hymns. Very often we have our student choir there, and they're a lot of fun. And
I had a question about that, actually. So are the special needs children part of the choir as well? Do they play drums or anything to get involved, or is it that the children's choir sings for the mass?
The children's choir usually sings for the mass, but they have some instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are children in the group, there are not always children attending, but if mm-hmm. there are children attending, they're invited up to use the drums or the shakers.
Okay.
Or everyone is invited up.
Generally at the end of the mass.
At the end of the mass. if there's a wedding going on in the main church, though, the children's choir does not come because their director would be playing the organ in the main church. So we don't have it every time.
Miss Jen, yeah.
Yes, Miss Jen. So, but everyone enjoys the children singing.
So at the end of the mass, everyone is invited up. Is there like a special blessing, or it's just they're involved with the music right at the very end?
Well, the priest that we have is Father Augustine Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
He's from St. Killian's Parish, and he comes to us. He really has a gift for ministering to the special needs population, mm-hmm. and he invites all the children to come up, and they might pose for a picture, or they'll all sing together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. He always has a special sermon that's appropriate for the group that's there. His faith is so beautiful, and he's able to present it in a very simple manner. And sometimes we have people that bring someone who might have an outburst. There's one young man that I think he gets full of the Spirit. He jumps up and down, and he can't speak, but he makes loud sounds, mm-hmm. or claps his hands. And in a regular mass, that might be disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
But in the group that we're in, we're kind of charismatic, and we don't care. You know, it's everything is acceptable and beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. So we're all made in His image and likeness.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting it's like freeing too, to be able not to worry and to have that community of, mm-hmm. okay, you know, we don't have to be perfect, like we be quiet all the time.
Right.
Did you want to mention anything?
Yeah, of course. You know, one of the great things about the special needs mass is, you know, again, as parents, you know, there's that inside voice that you kind of, you know, is telling you, geez, you know, you hope your child isn't going to act up today. And as people who don't have special needs children, they don't have an opportunity to understand that. So to be able to go to a place and celebrate mass and not have to worry, not have that inside voice worrying about, am I disturbing another parishioner, is really a place to be at peace. And you know, it's really wonderful that you know, this congregation started somewhere about 15 years ago, and it slowly but surely has grown a little bit, and a lot of people don't have an opportunity to know that it even exists. Being that it's once a month on a Saturday at 3 p.m., some people do not have an opportunity To go to this particular Mass. But we have consistently, rain or shine, have had this Mass at St. Catherine's at Siena, and that's at 33 New Hyde Park Road in Franklin Square. And once again, it's every third Saturday of the month. And then July and August, it shuts down, and then we start up again in September. Mm-hmm. And one of the young men, what's truly special about this Mass is that we do have two special needs children that are, well, they're adults, they're not children, they're special needs adults who are lectors and an altar server. And one of them, his name is Michael Massbruger. And I felt, you know, when I came on board with the special needs ministry and trying to help build up and market that congregation, because I just really felt that enough people really weren't aware about it. I think that, you know.
Oh, I just wanted to just say really briefly, Steve is a parishioner of St. Catherine's, and he also has a son who has special needs as well. So he's just been an advocate, and Steve is a lector as well at St. Catherine's. So he's just... I'm so happy you're here. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah,
you know.
To share with your advocacy.
What's wonderful is to be able to see these special needs children who don't have a lot of or missing possibly the socialization skills to go up and lecture and proclaim the word so beautifully is absolutely blows you away. And what I was leading to was Michael, I felt was could be an advocate for this special needs Mass. He could be that person who could speak to the congregation and let people know and make them aware that there is a special needs Mass and that I'm special needs, and I'm here to tell you that this is a great Mass. So this is a speech that he wrote some time ago. I'm going to say over the summer, right before the Mass had started, we had like an 11 o'clock Mass. I made sure that we picked the highest population of congregation, which is generally either the 11 o'clock Mass or 9:30 Mass, and then the 5 o'clock Mass. So he said this speech at those three times. So he says, "Hi, my name is Michael Massbruger. I've been a parishioner all my life of 27 years. Because of my language delay, my family became active with the special needs Masses. I became the altar server, which helped other people realize that there is more to us than labels. Now I'm one of the lectors, which built up my confidence. I wish that more people would join our group on the third Saturday at 3 p.m. And he made sure that he said this, that this counts for an attending Sunday Mass. Some people think that if you don't go to a Mass before, if you go before 5 o'clock, it doesn't count as a Sunday Mass. But he made sure that it counts for attending a Sunday Mass. And, of course, he closes with thank you and God bless. And, you know, that really touched a lot of people because, you know, for the first time it was really in their face that there is such a Mass that existed. It was in the bulletin in not such very bold print. However, it is there. But if it's something that you're not looking for, you're not going to see it.
Yeah.
So I felt that, you know, Michael really was that person that was in your face. So
I just wanted to say a couple of things. Personally, I've attended Mass where Michael was the lector, and just like what you just said, he just proclaims the word so simply and so beautifully. You could just tell that the love of God is coming out and of him, and I just really appreciate that, and just want to say thank you that that he is involved, and that this letter that he wrote to the congregation was so beautiful, so simple, so profound, and I think it really highlights some key points. He says being a lector has built up his confidence in himself, and that he is special, and that being an altar server, he's part of the Mass. He's part of the community, let's say, mm-hmm. of people who are not special needs.
Yes.
And I had a question, actually. What are some proper terms to describe people who have special needs without offending or I'm not sure.
Well, currently we call it the special needs and talents masses because clearly Michael is a talent. You know, when he goes up there and he proclaims the word, it's clear that he has a talent. Not only does he do that, he's also an usher boy. And he will also at times do the prayers of the faithful. So, you know, witnessing that, you know, I think it's a pretty broad term. Autism has been loosely coined. However, that population has grown ever so much. My son was born 24 years ago. There was one out of 50 children were born with autism. Mm-hmm. I stand corrected. It was one out of 250. Now it's one out of 50 children are born with autism. So that particular label has grown ever so more. We don't know why. You know, is it environmental? Is it the vaccines? Some people will claim that it's vaccines that they're taking all at one time. It's a pretty broad spectrum, and that's why, like, autism is pretty broad. There's very high levels of autism. There are middle and low ends of autism. But to give it one specific, label, I think just exceptional people.
That's a good way to say it, Steve, because some people object to having a label put on themselves, and someone even objected to something that I had written in an announcement. I put SPED in as a short form for special education, and a woman called and said she was very irate, and she said, sometimes children get teased by calling them speds. And I said that was certainly not my intention, and I used capital letters for SPED for special education, and she was very irate. And so people are very sensitive. It takes parents a long time to accept the fact that they have a special needs person, and there are different sensitivities. So, certain labels are needed for the education setting so that funding can be provided for their education. But other than that, we're all God's children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we all have our gifts and talents and our needs, so I think we just have to accept people at face value as they are and love them. And and I think that's what our little community of special needs people does at the Mass, because, you know, whatever behaviors there are, sometimes this is the only place that a family can come as one unit and worship together. Because if you have someone that has outbursts, someone stays home with that person while the others go to church, and then they reverse. And it's beautiful to be able to see a whole family, grandparents, parents, everybody come all at once and have their worship. It's really
so
nice.
So we had after Michael had given his little speech, it was the Sunday before the special needs Mass. That's one of the reasons why we're here today, of course, mm-hmm. is to promote the upcoming special needs Mass, which is next Saturday at 3 p.m. in Franklin Square. You know, once he got this message out, the following week, it increased that population. And we started seeing people who bring their parents. Now, we're talking adult children who had an opportunity to bring their parents who have Alzheimer's, who have outbursts, who that they cannot be at peace at church with their parents there having an outburst, because, again, they're also concerned about disturbing other parishioners. They can't be at peace. So I went around that particular day. I was there at that Mass, and I spoke to some of the parents, and this is what they said. This actually was in April. So this happened in April. I wanted to bring my mother, who has Alzheimer's, to the 1 p.m. Mass on Sunday. However, her outburst at times did not give me peace because I had to worry about other parishioners being disturbed, as I just said. Another parishioner said she wasn't aware of this Mass or the handicap accessibility until Monsignor mentioned it at the end of the Mass. This is wonderful. I can bring my father to Mass. It's easy to get in and out of here because of the elevators and ramps. And Father Augustine, who gave the Mass, said the presence of Jesus was at the Mass. And even though the congregation is small, you can feel his spirit in the Siena Center. And Father Augustine's ability to give a Mass without a flinch, without times, with disruptive sounds coming from the congregation, proves that he truly is a gifted, blessed soul. So, I mean, that in itself, speaks volumes of the comfort level of, you know, coming to a Mass like that and just really being yourself. And, some of the other things are, parishioners who are using walkers and wheelchairs. Again, we are handicap accessible. I know I'm being a little redundant in saying that, but there are not a lot of churches who are special needs accessible, cancer patients and others undergoing treatment, anybody who needs space to avoid crowds, and of course parishioners who help participant by responding to the liturgy. So just having other presence there to support those people, those exceptional people, is a blessing. So.
I wanted to mention more about Michael. As he became more verbal, he learned how to become an altar server when he was a child. And when he grew up, he wanted to participate as an adult, and he felt a little restricted. And we got him training to be a lector. Mm-hmm. Our faith formation director, Debbie Hurley, trained him in becoming a lector, and right from the beginning he rehearses, he repairs so well ahead of time. And now Steve has brought in another young man, Joey, who has been lecturing, and he proclaims the word so powerfully. And we have another young man, Dan, who's been acting as an usher and taking up the collection. That was controversial, too. You know, the pastor said, well, we don't really have to take a collection at that Mass. You know, we'll do that as a special ministry. But some people said, well, no, we are full participants, and we think that we should contribute.
Because so. there's something to be said about giving. Even if you're giving a nickel, you're giving of yourself. You're giving, and it's profound. When you were able to give of yourself, not only of your time, but if you were able to give something tangible, there's something, people mm-hmm. get out of giving that. And whether your special needs or not.
You feel connected to everybody else in giving. And those funds go to the church as well? Okay.
And when keeps the ministry alive.
The part of the Mass where we present the gifts for the bread and wine, the consecration of the bread and wine, we ask different people to, different special needs people to bring the gifts up. And they are so happy that they got picked, because that's an important role. And they just can't believe that they've been picked to bring
participate.
The gifts up. And participate fully.
Now, Michael's mom was telling me, Stephen McDonald, who had just passed away, as you know, that ceremony, which was magnificent, he was an altar server, at one time. As I was saying earlier, there wasn't a lot of churches because a lot of the churches are over 100, like our church is 100 years old, but then they built an extension and they made it handicap accessible. But Stephen McDonald's from the town of Malvern, and he would have masses at the American Legion Hall, because they had ramps there. And he was an altar server, Michael, for Stephen McDonald at the masses, so it's amazing, how far he's come and how much involved in participation. Of course, Anthony Schufo was instrumental in getting Michael to become a lector. Tony had a men's Bible study club, and Michael would read occasionally at this particular club, and he just really felt that Michael had it in him to do this. And you know, Tony Schifo is an inspiration. I'm sure he's in this room right now, mm-hmm. shining down on us. I'm sure he's so happy that, you know, he's continuing this work. I was the president of his fan club. I'm sure he has a lot of presidents of fan clubs. He was just an incredibly special man, and I'm just really honored to be here today. So,
you know, there are many, many parishes in the diocese that have a special needs mass. And if someone wanted to find that list, mm-hmm. they would go to the Diocese of Rockville Center website, drv.org. And it used to be under outreach, but somehow listing has been moved under faith formation. So if they go to the website, mm-hmm. drv.org, they can then look at the menu and find faith formation, and then under that there'll be a drop down for special needs. And if they go to special needs, they can find a list of parishes and what week their the masses are.
And there are over
parishes.
14 churches that are involved in that ministry
throughout the whole diocese. So in Western Nassau, St. Catherine's has it on the third Saturday of the month at 3. St. Anne's in Garden City has one at the same time. Mm-hmm. They were doing it on different weeks, but apparently this year they've settled on the third Saturday. Our Lady of Victory has a special needs mass on the fourth Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so those are the closest ones to where we live in Western Nassau. But to get the entire list, and it covers both Nassau and Suffolk County, they can go to that drop-down menu on special needs and get the list and the times and addresses of where these masses are. Mm-hmm. It's always good, though, to call up ahead of time to check and make sure the mass is going on, say if there's if it's snowing out, to just make sure it's still on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. I really enjoyed when Steve said that Anthony Chufo and Steve McDonald, that these are men that really, and by their actions and just how they are, how they were as people, they're still living on in us, even though they pass. It's as if they're still here with us, because you remember them, you remember their actions, and you strive to be, to have that grace, and they're a role model to allow God's grace into you, and you want to be like them. And I think just
Absolutely.
Today we could just remember them and pray for them, for the repose of their soul, and Dr. Palmer as well, and all of our loved ones who have passed with the Lord. We're connected with them, even though they're not here physically with us. We'll definitely see them again, and I just feel so inspired, and thank you yeah. for all of your kind words, and thank you. And it may be DRVC. I'm not sure if it's drv.org or DRVC, but if you type in Google Diocese mm-hmm. of Rockville Center, the website should come up.
If you type in the whole name Diocese of Rockville Center, it will come up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great. And listeners, I just want to say, please feel free to call in or to email any feedback or suggestions you may have. This call-in number is 631-888-8811. If you have any questions for Dr. O'Connell, Steve Spitaleri, and I just wanted to mention a couple of good feedback that we had so far about the show. One person said, "The show really speaks to me. It's very informational, and it's a conversation. It sounds like a conversation." And thank you so much for your feedback. Some people have said we like the saint of the day, or we miss having the saint of the day and the maybe a song in the middle. All of your feedback is definitely appreciated, and we want to cater to your needs and to what you guys want, and spreading the love of Jesus. So I thank you so much for all of your emails, all of your support on Facebook. Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air page. There is a page. You could see videos and previous shows. If, let's say, you miss, or Saturday at 10 is not good, not a good time for you. I know it's Saturday's catch-up day, going to the store, running out here and there. You can listen at your leisure at listen-up.net. It's the website. So it's listen-up.net. And there's all the shows, from Tony's past shows, from starting from this year in December 3rd, and you could listen. And we're going to have prayer requests, and I promise that your prayer requests will continuously be remembered by this radio show. Whatever prayer requests you have, know that we will constantly be praying for you, and I will constantly be praying for you. My name is Kadrina, by the way. I think I forgot to announce myself, so please feel free to call in and reach out to us. So, all right.
And what was that number again?
The call-in number is 631-888-8811. It's very easy to to remember. Doctor, do you have any advice or encouraging words for our listeners? Maybe if somebody is thinking about attending the special needs mass, what would be some benefits? Why should we attend a special needs mass? The benefits, and just in your opinion and expertise in working,
I think it's a good idea to come early to the special needs mass, because as a community we get to know one another, mm-hmm. and miss one another if someone isn't there. I think it's a beautiful thing that people ask if someone hasn't been there in a month or two. You know, others are saying, oh, where is this person and where is that person? Are they okay? There's a community within our parish that is interested in one another and looks out for one another. So that's one reason to come, just to be aware of each other as a community. And everyone deserves the right to know about their faith, and not just know it in isolation. Know that there are others like them who also love Jesus and want to know about him.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's something we all strive for, too, that whatever age we are, if we're special needs or not, we want to have that, to feel welcome, to feel that community bonding. And Father Peter was on last week, and he's the pastor of St. Francis of Assisi Church in Greenlawn, and he mentioned that there's going to be a young adult coffee house starting up, a meeting of young adults in that area of in Greenlawn, New York, Huntington. It's really close by that area, once a month. It hasn't started yet, but we hope to get that started and to have that community, like you said, of fellowship and prayer, and to get that going.
And is that for special needs or young people in general?
Young mm-hmm. people in general. Yes, special needs, all are welcome. Mm-hmm. I think the age, probably 20s, college, and up and beyond, working age, so probably starting from 20s.
So this would be a place to socialize with other Catholic Christians.
Mm-hmm. Right, and mm-hmm. to pray together as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just to socialize and get to know mm-hmm. one another and feel that you're part of the same faith to feel connected in that way.
That's wonderful. Just to expand a little bit about what Dr. Priscilla was saying is, you know, being a father of a special needs child, there are certain expectations that you have being an advocate. And I think some people don't even see those expectations, such as having a clean home, having clean clothes, having the right to, you know, watch a movie, see a movie, have some form of entertainment, the right to vote. Because some of these children are not able to verbalize does not mean that they do not fully understand. Mm-hmm. And having a child of special needs, I know that he gets it. I know that he sees that. He does vote. He is very interested in being a part of the special needs mass. I think any opportunity he can to bring up the gifts, he's looking forward to bring up the gifts. Hi, Tommy, if you're listening. And I think lastly, of course, their right to faith. I think sometimes we don't, you know, we think, okay, they're seen, they're not being heard. Because they're seen and not being heard does not mean that they do not have the opportunity to have faith in their life. And I think it's really important to have faith in your life, you know, whether special needs or not. The opportunity is there. And, you know, as a parent, I felt that it was really important that I introduced my son to this mass. We were going to regular masses at times, and some of his outbursts were kind of uncomfortable for me as a parent, you know, worrying about some of the other parishioners. And some people would say, well, you know, who cares about what other people think? Well, it's other people's rights also to be at peace at mass and not be disturbed while they're at mass. So here's that opportunity to come to mass and just be comfortable and free and enjoy the experience of you know, having your faith be right there with you. So
thank you. That's so wonderful. And I could just tell as you speak that you love your son very much, and I just love seeing just parents' expressions that, you know, my child has special needs, but I still love them fully. And, you know, right, you could relate to that. That's something I really like, because it shows how special we are, and how, you know, like how God loves us, that we're his children no matter, you know, our imperfections, or we fail, or we're not perfect. God loves us, and he wants the best for us. So,
no one is perfect. We have to remember that. No one is perfect. We all have our little itches that where we don't feel that we measure up. But some of us can present ourselves to the world a little more smoothly than others. And God loves us all, and that's what we have to remember. We have to see the face of Jesus in whoever we meet, whether they're whether they have a mental disability, where they might be hard to get along with, or if they're developmentally delayed. Usually, they're very loving and innocent and open to whoever they come across.
Yeah, it's that innocence and humility put together. You know, you think if the whole world had 15 minutes of that, what a wonderful
Jesus
world.
Jesus said we have to be like little children in order to enter the kingdom. So that's how they approach life as little children.
Right, and that just reminded me of I went on a retreat last week, and at the Little Sisters of the Poor in Queens Village, New York. And the Little Sisters, they are a congregation of nuns, of sisters, that their charism is getting closer to the Lord, however, serving the elderly poor. So they have homes all across the United States and abroad that serve the needs of the elderly poor, and they I just their love for the for the elderly, just you could see in their face and in their actions, really it really helps you to see how special the elderly are, and that we shouldn't put them to the side, and that they're cherished, and they have so much wisdom that they could share with us. And even if they do have outbursts, or, you know, as you get elderly, you can't do everything that you can do, but you're still valued, and you're still important.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, that's an absolutely beautiful, what they call it, it's not really called a nursing home, they call that a residency.
Okay, yes.
It's a residency slash nursing home, and I've done some volunteer work there through my teenage years and in my adult life, and it really is something special to see. And where the location of it in Queens Village, you would not believe that you were in Queens Village any longer, right?
Right. It's like a safe haven. It just feels like once you enter the doors, it's like, wow, you
it's in this like commercial community, residential community, yeah, and then all of a sudden away. Tucked
on
away
on a busy street, but yeah. Once you enter the gates,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like a busy place.
I felt like at peace when I walked in last week, and there's a chapel right in the middle of the building, right in the middle of the resident building, and there's mass celebrated every day, and prayer times and activities for the elderly. So you really feel there's pictures on the wall of Jesus and different images. So it's really beautiful to see how the opening quote for today from the Bible: "Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." We're serving the Lord Jesus in these little ones, and these weak ones. And I really love how you said that they're exceptional people for special needs. Focus on the positive, on their positive traits and talents and gifts, what we could give. Maybe we can't give in one way, but we could give in another way, and how we all can work together to help one another out, even if we're not special needs. Even if we are, we could all help each other, and I think that's such a loving, wonderful thing.
So we also have a respite night coming up on January 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's not a walk-in. You have to call and make a reservation. You have to call the parish outreach office at 516-775-0840, or you can call the parish office at St. Catherine of Siena. And St. Catherine of Siena and Our Lady of Victory provide this service jointly. Many of our volunteers are also from Our Lady of Victory Parish. Mm-hmm. And we match a teenager and an adult with each child that comes in. And the parents can go off and have some time to themselves. And each participant gets a buddy, a teenage buddy, and then an adult who kind of supervises. And they have a wonderful time there, but you have to pre-register so that we can match each participant with these volunteers. And if anybody would like to volunteer, they can call the parish outreach office and submit their name. Adults have to have VIRTIS training so that everyone is screened, all the adults are screened who come in, and teenagers don't have to have that training, but they're always supervised.
And that's that's a total of 2 hours,
two
right?
2 hours. You know, the volunteers come for about 2.5 hours total. But the participants are there for 2 hours.
You could see this is like, you know, could be like a date night for parents, you know, who have children of special needs. Mm-hmm. They have an opportunity to spend some quality time together and not have to worry about, you know, attending to their children's special needs. So it's
great.
Pretty wonderful thing.
Like a relaxing peace of mind for the parents.
For 2 hours.
Just 2 hours. Mm-hmm. They could look forward to it.
Have a good time.
Plan
yeah.
something. And is there a fee associated?
There is no fee. There is no fee.
Okay, it's
no.
for free.
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
awesome. Great. Thank you for sharing.
People in Our Lady of Victory were interested in it, but they didn't have handicapped accessible rooms. Mm-hmm. But St. Catherine of Siena does, so they're joining together in this ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And it's a lot of space in the auditorium, so I'm sure even other parishes maybe could get involved, or I'm not sure, but that's such a great
thing.
Could
be an opportunity, sure. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to segue now into the saint of the day. So the saint of the day today is going to be Saint Paul. I know in the past couple of weeks we've been mentioning Saint Paul a little bit, the apostle. I just want to share a little bit his story. Many of us might know of his awesome conversion story, how God struck him on the road to Damascus, and here we go. So here's St. Paul. And actually, his feast day is coming up. It's January 25th is the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. Something great to keep in mind and look forward to. And we could think of our own conversions, if we have any awesome conversion stories, and how we may want to share that with others. And if you're interested even in being a guest speaker and coming on the radio show to share or to call in, again, our email is listenup1240@gmail.com. All right, so it was the stoning of Stephen that started it. Saul had watched it happen and made up his mind. The followers of Jesus were dangerous. They must be destroyed. That very day, he started going from house to house in Jerusalem, determined to discover all those who believed in Jesus. When he found any believers, he dragged them out of their homes and had them thrown into prison. The law was on his side, too. The Jewish authorities said that anyone who believed that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had risen from the dead was guilty of blasphemy. The punishment for blasphemy, as in the case of Stephen, was death. Despite this, the Christian belief was growing stronger and spreading across the country. In particular, there was a large number of followers of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul went out to the high priest of the Jews in Jerusalem and asked for letters giving him the power to enter the synagogues in Damascus to seek out any followers of this new belief, arrest them, and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. Then he set off on the long and dangerous journey. Suddenly, as he was nearing the city of Damascus, lightning seemed to flash all around him, and he fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you?" Saul asked fearfully. "I am Jesus," he heard the voice say. "I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Now get up and go to Damascus. You'll be told what to do." The men who were journeying with Saul stood there, uncertain what to do. They had heard the voice, but seen no one. It was as Saul staggered to his feet that he realized that he could see nothing. He was blind. His companions led him by the hand the rest of the way to Damascus, to the house of a man named Judas, who lived on Straight Street in the middle of the city. Saul stayed there for 3 days, unable to see and refusing food and drink. At this time, a Christian in Damascus named Ananias had a vision. God spoke to him, telling him to go to Straight Street and ask for Saul at the house of Judas. But Ananias was afraid to go, for he had heard all about Saul and what he'd done in Jerusalem to the Christians. "Don't worry," said the voice of God to Ananias. "Saul's been praying. He knows you're coming." Ananias visited Saul, put his hands on his head, and told him that Jesus had sent him so that Saul might see and believe. And from that moment, Saul's sight returned. He was baptized a Christian and began to preach in Damascus, praising Jesus as the Son of God. Not surprisingly, Saul was now mistrusted by both Jews and the followers of Jesus. Eventually, he had to escape from the city during the night by being lowered in a basket from the city walls. From then on, Saul became known as Paul, and he started his great work of spreading the news of Jesus. So that's the story is just so rich and meaning and his conversion for all of us. And I just want to read a little quote here from the Bible as well, from Romans 12, verse 9 to 13, that says, "Let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in prayer. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Exercise hospitality." And so I just want to end with a prayer. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So
amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of your blessings, for allowing all of us to be here today, to allowing us to share your word with all of our listeners, and for just willing us into existence for our own life. We thank you so much for all of your blessings, and we pray for all the intentions of our listeners, all those benefactors, all those for this radio show. May it be abundantly blessed by your grace and goodwill, and may you protect all of us, and may all of our wills be united to yours. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and we just say, in our Father,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
God bless you, listeners. Thank you, Dr. Priscilla and Stephen, for coming. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
And tune in next week. We're going to have some great great speakers. And in 2 weeks, Saverio Grosso will be speaking about Mary, and we'll be talking about Mary on January 28th. So please stay tuned. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Search for your
word. They do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.